wickedness of the earth will be destroyed. The Savior of the world will reign over us. Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham became the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah became the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez became the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Aminadab. Aminadab became the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz became the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed became the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of David the king. David became the father of Solomon, whose mother had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon became the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abiah. Abiah, the father of Asaph. Asaph became the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram. Joram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah became the father of Jotam. Jotam, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah became the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amos. Amos, the father of Josiah. Josiah became the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the Babylonian exile. After the Babylonian exile, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud. Abiud became the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok became the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Eliud. Eliud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar became the father of Matan. Matan, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Thus, the total number of generations from Abraham to David is 14 generations. From David to the Babylonian exile, 14 generations. From the Babylonian exile to the Christ, 14 generations. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. He had no relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Sometime in the next week, I'll be sending out the test cards for you to recite the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one thing that I would like you to remember is there's a clue in there, a clue that we can all hear. That clue is the number of generations from Abraham, the father in faith, to David was 14 generations. From David to the Babylonian exile, 14 generations, and from the Babylonian exile to the Christ, 14 generations. What is it about the number 14 in the Hebrew alphabet? Because they used letters. They didn't have Arabic numbers like we have for math. They counted in Greek, A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4. They did the same type of thing in Hebrew, and the number 14 has a particular significance. What does 14 stand for? It stands for the name David. David. And so the original hearers, when they heard this gospel, would have heard, like it was a flashing marquee on Broadway, David, David, David. It's to identify how Jesus became the Davidic king in the line of David. David is so important to the Jews because his monarchy is the beginning of the Jewish exaltation. When they did so well, and with his son Solomon, they did even better. They did very well. They were a people that was united in a way that they never would be united again. But there was always a promise that after all these terrible things happened to these poor Jews, they would be saved. They would be saved by some David of the future. And Jesus is that David. Son of God, son of David. Son of Abraham, son of David. So what's all that mean? That means that there's something very adult about this birth in Bethlehem. Something that was a part of destiny. Something that had been foretold by prophets over the centuries before he came. And one of the points about this Davidic dynasty that Jesus inherited was that it was not perfect. Just looking at the phrase, David became the father of Solomon, whose mother had been the wife of Uriah. David wasn't a perfect man. David decided Uriah's wife was very pretty. And so he sent Uriah off to battle and put him in the front lines where he was killed. And then they married. So what does that say? There's others in this story. A mother whose name was Tamar. She was not exactly a high-ranking woman in her society. But the point of all of these odd names and these odd people and this genealogy is that God has a way of working things out. Jesus wasn't even conceived in ordinary ways. God had decided and willed that Mary be with child, that Mary would carry the Christ child, the baby, Jesus. And an angel came and told her what she was to bear in her womb. And she did it. And he's here. He's here among us. But we're not just looking at his birth so many years ago. We're looking at his birth in our hearts today. Our birth, his birth in our spirit. His presence with us. And when I say presence, I don't mean the ones with the T. I mean the one with the C. Real presence. real presence of God among us. At the end of this scripture, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. God is with us too, not just 2,000 plus years ago, but in a very real way right here tonight. He is here among us in his blessed sacrament of the altar. He is here in this holy sacrifice of the Mass. When we are standing at his altar and we consecrate his body and blood, we are consecrating the same body and blood that died on the cross. We are consecrating the same body and blood that was risen from the grave. We're consecrating the same body and blood that he gave his disciples at the Last Supper. All those events are one in God. God doesn't have history. We have history. We've been given a history so that we can work out with God, through his grace, our salvation. Our salvation even right now. Even right now. So tonight, as we celebrate this event of the Nativity of Christ, we're talking about today, eternal now, the nowness of God, God who comes to us in the same way he has come to all Christians throughout the centuries, in his body and blood. Why does he do that? Why does he give us his body and blood? He gives it to us for the strengthening of our souls so that we become slowly but surely transformed into what we eat. Each time we come to Holy Mass, we're not just getting something. We're not just getting some kind of a pledge. We are participating in his real presence, his presence with us in our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our souls. And we have an opportunity, while being transformed, to grow more and more and more like him. So as we come tonight, as we come to this Christmas Eve, as we celebrate the birthday of Jesus, let him be born in our hearts anew. Let him be born in such a way that even if we have not done right up till now, just like these people that were in Jesus' genealogy, none of us have come from pristine backgrounds, perfection. I would really like to meet anyone here who was perfect. I don't think any of us can be, but we can hope to be, that the Lord in his grace will perfect us, because Jesus says to us, be perfect like the Heavenly Father is perfect. He doesn't just say, oh, give in and do whatever you want. He says, repent, believe the good news. Come, take up your cross and follow me. He gives us all these helpful hints. We just have to pay attention so that we, like all of those saints before us, follow in his way so that one day too, we too may become saints in heaven. Tomorrow the wickedness of the earth will be destroyed. The Savior of the world will reign over us. Thanks be to God.